The following audio is brought to you by Summerside Community Church in London, Ontario. For more information on Summerside, visit us online at www.summersidechurch.ca.
Good morning. My name is John Mark Davis. I'm one of the elders here at Summerside. For those of you who haven't been here before, I'm not a professional speaker. We have amazing pastors that you need to come back and hear other weeks, but they asked me to speak this morning. I got to tell you, honestly, I think we could have stopped at the end of the baptisms and been full. Like, just, it's my favorite service of the year. It's getting, well, we have a couple of year. Having them share their heart, what God has done, that they're ready now to publicly declare that they're surrendering all areas of their life to Jesus. Just beautiful. I'm glad I didn't have to preach right after because I was kind of teary. I'll tell you also, my second favorite service of the year is the baby dedication services. We have people who have newborns who are part of our church. They come up and we get to pray for them that they will raise their children in the ways of the Lord, that they will be wise with caring for their kids, and the church commits to praying and helping them raise their children in the ways of the Lord. I have four kids, and I'll tell you, raising kids demands a lot of wisdom. Amen? Amen. And so what's good is that we're doing a series on wisdom right now. We're looking at the book of the Bible called Proverbs, and it's one of three books about wisdom. Pastor Devin started our series for the summer on it. He talked about how to gain wisdom to handle your marriage well last week. An important topic. If you guys missed that sermon, you got to go back and listen to it. Really, really great on how the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, gives us a lot of wisdom on how to do marriage well. His key points were, one, you know, your marriage needs to be a place protected. You have to have real wisdom with how you handle relationships outside your marriage, what you protect so that you can look after your marriage. Another topic was you need to make your marriage a place of gentleness. For me, that's a struggle, as my wife will attest to. Gentleness is not one of my forthcoming strengths that I need to work on. I need the Lord to give me wisdom with that. Other key point was make your marriage a place of joy. And he was talking about in marriage, you know, that intimacy should be celebrated in marriage and only in marriage. You know, it's a little uncomfortable for some people in here. It was awesome. But I'll have to admit, when Devin was preaching, he saw a lot of blank looks on people's faces about intimacy in marriage and how that should be celebrated. So instead of doing a sermon on Proverbs, he actually asked me, because, you know, I'm older, I've been married for longer, I think I'm more proficient in that area, asked me to talk on another book of the Bible by Solomon, who wrote most of the Proverbs, Song of Solomon. So that whole book is about intimacy and marriage. So he asked me to preach on that. So first of all, husbands, you're going to need to take notes. So grab some paper. I mean, I got some diagrams and everything. So you're going to want to take notes. Wives, you might want to plug the ears of your children. Might get a little uncomfortable this morning. People who are new to the church, you came at a great week. This is going to be awesome. So let's dig into the... Oh, hold on, guys. Got a phone call. I wouldn't normally take it. It's Pastor Mark. Is it okay if I take it? You know, I think he's supposed to be on holidays. Okay, I'm going to take it. Hey, Mark, how are you? Yeah, I'm just getting started talking about Song of Solomon. It's going to be awesome. People are already uncomfortable. What? You don't want me talking about that subject? But I wanted to talk about, you know, climbing the palm tree, taking hold of the... No? Well, what do you want me to talk about? People don't like to talk about money. I don't want to be the guy to talk about. Fine. Bye. Okay, guys, so apparently not Song of Solomon. We're going to go into Proverbs, and we're going to look at the subject of money. How many people like talking about money? I don't see many hands. Okay, let's be more specific. How many of you like talking about your own money? Right? Like how you're doing with your debt, you know, budgeting, you know, how much you gave versus how much you spent on golf last season. Like, how many people like talking about money? I see a few hands, but I see a few worried faces right now. I'll admit, money is not the easiest subject to talk about. We bring a lot of baggage when it comes to the concept of money and dealing with money God's way. Like, even for me, I grew up, for those of you who don't know, I grew up a missionary kid. I was one of seven kids. We grew up in Asia. Seven kids, and being missionaries, we didn't have much money at all. My parents were really good stewards of what God gave them. They budgeted well. But, for example, we went to one restaurant a year. And we never got to have a drink. I still, when I go to restaurants, I never order a drink. Anyone here with me on that? Like, so money is a big issue. We spend it, we deal with it every day, and yet it's an uncomfortable subject for many people. It's a subject that even the people who are closest to us in life often, you know, that's something we keep private. So what the good news is that God cares about money. He cares about dealing with our money well. And the book of Proverbs, the book of wisdom, talks a ton about money. Actually, it almost speaks too much about money. So when I was getting ready for this sermon, I was seeking a lot of counsel from Devin, especially about how to do this. And so he said, okay, Jam, here's what you do. Take all the verses about money and possession, you know, all of them from the Proverbs, and look at them. And then divide them up into different themes that you see. Do you guys know there are over 150 verses in the Proverbs about money? So I came up with 10 different themes about money. 10. So we're going to go quickly through them. Here's my caution or my advice. I love how Devin last week, when he opened the Word, like he was encouraging people to open their Bible, turn to the Scripture. I'd love for you to do that, but we're going to move too fast. This is going to be like a fire hose of information at first. So here's my advice. Write down, as I present God's Word, that's what's most important. Let's get immersed in God's Word and trust the Holy Spirit's going to speak to our hearts about money. So instead of trying to write everything down, take huge notes. You know, if there's a verse that really speaks to you, write it down so that you can come back to in your own private, quiet time and ask God, what's this verse about that's tugging at my heart? You know, snap a picture. I know you guys all want to take pictures of me up on... No, but you can take a picture of the verse if it's what you want to hold on to. So we're going to talk about the themes of money and what God says about them. So we'll go kind of quickly at first, and then I'll kind of slow down. I know this is, someone told me from the first sermon, it's like listening to an e-book at double time. My apologies. So let's get into this. So first theme is the idea of wisdom versus wealth. An amazing verse. It says, you know, wisdom is more precious than silver or gold. Proverbs 15:16 says, better the fear of the Lord with having little than having great wealth with folly. So, interesting. Wealth, not as important as wisdom. Second theme of Proverbs, hard work versus laziness. You know, Proverbs 6 talks about a little sleep, a little folding of the hands, a little slumber, and poverty will pounce on you like a bandit. 14:23 says, work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty. Listen to this one. This is kind of interesting in our day and age. Proverbs 13:11. Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows. Another theme that people talk about in the book of Proverbs is the rich versus the poor. There's a lot of contrast there. 18:11 says, the rich think of their wealth as an unstoppable fortress. 18:24 says, the poor plead for mercy, but the rich answer harshly. 13:7, here's a really interesting one in our day and age. Some who are poor pretend to be rich. Others who are rich pretend to be poor. Another theme of money in Proverbs is greed and the dangers of greed. 1:19 says, such is the fate of those who are greedy for gain. It ends up robbing them of life. Another one says, 23:4, don't weary yourself trying to get rich. 28:22 says, a greedy person tries to get rich quick, but it only leads to poverty. Here's an interesting statistic for you guys. Did you know that more than 80% of people in North America who win the lottery, that within 3 years, they're either in the same financial position they were before winning or in a worse position? 80%. God talks about greed, and what's wonderful is he leads us away from that. Fifth theme is storing up riches, about having provisions. 11:28a says, trust in your money and down you go. 23:5 says, for riches can disappear as though they had wings of a bird. Another one, Proverbs 38b says, God, And this is written by an author, not Solomon. It's somebody else, not even most likely a Hebrew at that time, wrote, God, give me neither poverty or riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. He didn't say my wants, but my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. Another theme is giving. 11:24 says, it's possible to give freely and become more wealthy, but those who are stingy will lose everything. 14:21b says, blessed are those who help the poor. 22:9 says, blessed are those who are generous because they feed the poor. A lot to be said about giving. Another important topic is wealth. 3:9, and remember, like Solomon, when he wrote Proverbs, or many of them, not all of them, many of them, God had met with him and said, hey, what do you want? I'm going to give you something. What do you want? And Solomon said, I want to rule the people well. I need wisdom. So God blessed him with wisdom, but because he asked for wisdom, God also gave him, promised him wealth and honor. And so look at this idea about wealth. 3:9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part, some translations say the first parts of everything your land produces. 10:22a says, the blessing of the Lord makes a person rich. Debt. Man, debt is like a cancer in North American society right now. We have more people declaring bankruptcy than graduating from college and university right now. This is, you know, some ideas about debt. 17:18, it is poor judgment to co-sign a friend's note to become responsible for a neighbor's debts. 22:7 says, just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is slave to the lender. Just as the rich rule the poor, so the borrower is slave to the lender. I've seen so many people who don't get to experience the joy of giving because of the debt levels that they hold. Ever want to read a great book on that topic? It's really short. Same size, looks like the Prayer of Jabez. It's called the Treasure Principle by Randy Alcorn. Amazing. We'll get into that a little bit more. Stewardship and investing is another theme of Proverbs about money. 10:16 says, the earnings of the godly enhance their lives, but evil people squander their money on sin. Love this from 31:16. This is talking about the wife of noble character. She goes out to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard. Really, really beautiful image there. Final one is talking about righteous living. This theme includes 11:4. Riches won't help you on the day of judgment, but right living is a safeguard against death. 22:1 says, choose a good reputation over great riches, for being held in high esteem is better than having silver or gold. 10:2 says, ill-gotten gains has no lasting value, but right living can save your life. So those are the 10 themes about money. There's more. There's a lot more verses than I presented. We good? We got it? We know how to do money God's way now? That's it, right? It's too much. I look at that list and I apologize. It's way too big, way too much. I mean, to be honest, every one of those themes could have been like a 1 or 2 week sermon series. Like we could have done 20 weeks on money alone. And so what do we do when there's just so much? Well, what's cool is there is a great deal to be said, not just Old Testament, but even New Testament. Do you know Jesus talked more about money and possessions than any other topic, even heaven and hell? I mean, 15% of his sermons were on money and possessions. He's told a lot of stories called parables, simple stories to illustrate truths. And 11 of the 39 are about money and possessions. It's a big deal. So how do we cover in 1 week the topic of money when it's such a broad category? And I think really it's about, you know, the book of Proverbs is not just good advice. It's advice about how to do life God's way, because that's where true hope and joy and freedom comes from that. And so I think it's important that we reframe our thinking, not so much about good advice, but God's guidance to live well. And what that at the very root of it, at the core of it, it's about our heart. I think we can attest that there is a direct string, a direct line from our wallet to our heart. And so I think God wants to talk to us about what's most important about our heart. It's about our heart dealing with money and every topic that we want to examine and be challenged on. So here's some great Proverbs talking about that. So Proverbs 4:23 says, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it affects everything you do." Does your money impact your heart? I think absolutely. And vice versa. Here's interesting. Jesus talks clearly. He's talking about putting anything in front of God. And he says in Matthew 6:24, we can't serve two masters. Of all the different things we could serve, he brings up the example of God versus money. Interesting, hey? We could pick a lot of idols to go in there, but Jesus brings up money. I think really, you know, what we believe about money, what we think about money, it really impacts how we behave about money and then other ways as well, too. My life verses are found here in Proverbs as well that I think it's talking about the heart again. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understandings. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. So does that truth talk about money? Yeah, because it's an arena we need to trust and we need to surrender in. We deal with money every day, and I think God invites us into a relationship with him to really lead us well in that and allow us to have freedom with our money rather than something that's actually binding to us. So, for example, you know, giving well, being generous, being good stewards of what he's entrusted to us is really important. I'll give you an example. You know, imagine you are the manager of a business, right? You're running this business for an owner. And the owner comes to work and says, hey, I want you to account for every dollar that's come in and gone out. How long do you think you'd keep your job as manager if you couldn't account for all that money, where it went and it coming in and out? And so I think the same thing is, I'm going to point out, you know, we've got to be able to account for what we're spending our money on. We've got to be able to talk about it. We've got to grow in it. We've got to learn about it. I know it's something I was joking about. It's something like Song of Solomon, we don't want to talk about. It's uncomfortable, but it's important to talk about it. And talking with our spouses, talking with others that we seek godly advice from are really important. So at the end of the day, we need advice on how to have our heart directed well with money. Love this. I'm going to steal a little bit of Pastor Mark's thunder because he's going to preach on this topic soon. But Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Only fools despise wisdom and discipline." And so really handling money well demands wisdom. And so I think, you know, it'll be great to listen to Mark talk about that. As we pursue God in every area, including money, I think we can have joy and freedom. So the question really is, why is it we don't seem to handle our money well? And I'm not saying you may handle your money well, but there may still be some things to learn today. I think really one of the biggest reasons we don't handle money well is because we have an enemy. We have an enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, we're talking about Satan here. And if we look at the next verse, or maybe it's not even up there, but Ephesians 6:12 says, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the evil authorities and rulers of the unseen world." Satan is the father of lies. And so he hates us trying to follow God. And so he wants to lie to us. He wants to lead us away. He wants our hearts to replace God with something else. We would call those idols. Anything that we're trusting in instead of God, anything that we're turning into or depending on instead of God, is an idol. And he wants to lead our hearts away from having freedom in God and depending on money. And so what I thought would be good advice instead of all those huge amount of different themes is looking at lies that we believe about money. Is that okay? I apologize. Again, we're into 10. 10 is a lot, so forgive me. But maybe some of these don't apply to you, maybe just one or two. But I want to dig into some of the lies about money that we could believe that would lead our heart away from God. Lie number one. Money provides security. I see it a lot. I see a lot of times people are depending on what they've got saved, or they've got to save more for retirement, and then I'm not saying anything against saving. You absolutely need to. God shows us. I said even the Proverbs talks even about the ant storing up for the future. You've got to save. But where is your trust? The markets are all down right now. Has that caused an emotional response in you? Are you worried? Are you fearful? Let's address, is that a lie? So here's the truth. If we're going to deal with lies, we can't leave it there. We've got to replace those lies with the truth. So here's the truth. Proverbs 23, 4 and 5 says, don't wear yourself out getting rich. Don't trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches and they're gone, for they will surely sprout wings and fly off in the sky like an eagle. I love this idea of Proverbs 21:31. It's a beautiful image of this war horse that's being ready for battle, being prepared for battle. It says, get the horse ready for the day of battle, but victory rests in the Lord. Money doesn't provide security. God provides security. Another lie that I think we buy into is this idea of my money, my business. None of your business, right? It's something, because we don't talk about it, we want to keep it private. Well, I work really hard, so I'm going to decide what to do with it. I'm in charge of my money. And I think that's, I'm not going to tell you what's a lie. Let's look at what God has to say. Proverbs 12:15. The way of fools seem right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Again, we've looked at this verse already before. Proverbs 13:7 says, one person pretends to be rich, yet has nothing. Another pretends to be poor, and yet has great wealth. And then finally, Proverbs 19:20. Wow, this is a good one. In all areas of life, get all the advice and instruction you can, and be wise for the rest of your life. So that was Proverbs 19:20. Get all the advice and instruction you can, and be wise for the rest of your life. Here's another lie I've seen very often and I've bought into. I'll give when. When I was a young person, I thought, wow, I'm making money now. It's pretty awesome. I can buy the things I want. And I thought, when I'm grown up, when I'm mature, I don't know if that's happened yet, then I'll give to the church. And so oftentimes young people are like, no, I'm going to give later. Or maybe your excuse is, well, once I make more money, then I'll give. Or, you know, once I've dealt with this debt, then I'll give. And I think that can be really, really dangerous. I agree, you've got to deal with your debt. You've got to eliminate it. But I think at the same time, starting right away with surrendering and giving to God is so important. Look at this, Proverbs 22:9. The generous will themselves be blessed, for they share their food with the poor. There's so many verses on this. Proverbs 3:27. In chapter 11, 24, 14, 21, 31, 19, 17, there's just so many verses about give. Not wait, give. My parents being missionaries, I might joke about it, but they were very great stewards of what God entrusted to them. Even as missionaries, they gave double what tithe was calling for. And we went without for some things, you know, one restaurant a year. But they gave, and just a couple years ago, I was sitting with my dad asking him for some wisdom about money, because he did so well with stewarding what God entrusted. And he shared with me, he's like, every year I've tried to outgive God, and I can't. And that's not saying, hey, if you give a lot, then God's going to bless. It's just this idea of be generous now, and God will bless you. Next lie, more money will make me happier. Anyone thought that might be a truth? There is a terrible song that talks about more money, more problems. But I think the idea of more money will make me happier. If I could just have a little bit more, then I'd be able, then I'd feel this. I think it's a lie. And so let's turn to God's truths. What does God say about this? This verse that I'm going to show. So a lot of the Proverbs were written by Solomon, wisest man who ever lived. Wrote a lot of the Proverbs, I believe, at the beginning of his reign. He lived a long time, reigned a long time. With that wealth and prestige that he gained, he began to really steer away from the Lord and make terrible decisions. Some of the things he did were atrocious. At the end of his life, he wrote Book of Ecclesiastes, another book of wisdom. And after having experienced all the pleasures of what the world could offer through wealth, this is what he wrote. Whoever loves money never has enough. whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. Ecclesiastes 5:10. Another lie, only 10% belongs to God. Right? Well, if I give my 10%, then I can do whatever I want with the rest, right? But just that 10%. And I think that can be really, really dangerous. I think, well, there's a great book. One of the books I read early in business was called God Owns My Business by a man named Stanley Tam. He was a business owner. Business was kind of struggling, but he felt convicted. And so he got to the point where he actually legally signed over the ownership of his business to God. Pretty amazing, pretty awesome. He was committed to giving to the Lord. And so, you know, he was giving that 10% and the Lord convicted him. And so he progressed and gave a higher percentage. Near the end of his career in business, he was giving 90% away to God's work and living on 10. Like, what an incredible testimony. I heard a wise man once say, there's nothing that has robbed the church of more than the concept of the tithe. I think most of us really need to be challenged about, is that 10% too safe? Could we be trusting the Lord more and giving more? And I'm not just talking about tithe. I think also, like, there's a real call for gifts and offerings. I think you are responsible to give to your church, and then outside of those gifts and offerings, also give to other ministries that the Lord is about around the world. Psalms, so written by Solomon's dad, who finished really well, unlike his son. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth is the Lord and everything in it. The world and all who live in it." Proverbs 19:17 says, "If you help the poor, you're lending to the Lord, and he will repay you." How awesome. If I understood fully, hey, if I'm giving to God's work, like, that is the best investment ever. That might free our heart from that lie of only 10% belong to God. This might sound like the same, but I think it's different. This lie is, all I have is mine, I've earned it. Right? Like, I get to decide. It's mine. I've worked hard. I'm going to be the one to decide how to deal with it and all that. I think it can be really dangerous when you feel like you own it, right? Like, you've earned it by your own hand. Deuteronomy 8:17-18 says, "You may say to yourself, my power and strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors, as it is today." It's his, all of it. Are we just ready to be free, to trust him in it? Another one that, again, I see so often now is this idea of, I deserve it. We live in a day and an age where you can buy anything now and pay for it later. Houses, cars, tools, all that kind of stuff, like credit cards, it can be really, really dangerous. And this idea of, I deserve it, regardless of whether I can afford it. It might be simply, I deserve this, or it might be, I'm feeling bad about myself, just gone through a breakup, or I am feeling depressed, I'm going to buy something to make me feel better. Or, you know, maybe I can't afford it, but I really deserve it. I'll use that credit card to order from Amazon. I think it can be dangerous. Hebrews 13:5 says, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you." It's not going to make you feel better. It's not about you deserving it. It's about trusting the Lord to provide for your needs. It was interesting. The next lie, I was in a restaurant with my wife and friends last weekend, and there was a tip jar in the restaurant. And the tip jar said, "Money is the root of evil, therefore you should get rid of it here." So, smart, eh? Good tip. It's not true. Like, first of all, the verse is, "For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." I'll tell you a story of being a missionary kid growing up with not a lot of money. I had this flawed, I believed a lie. I believed that I had this poverty mentality. I felt like if you had a lot of money, one, you probably couldn't be a good Christian, or two, you've got it through illegal or sinful manners. And that was a lie. And I love that the Lord really challenged my heart on that. When I came to Canada, I was 16, got connected to a wonderful church in Cambridge, Ford Church. And in that church, God introduced me to a lot of wonderful, godly men who were very successful. in businesses. They had businesses. They were quite well off. And it's, they were so excited to use their work for the Lord's kingdom. It was awesome. I mean, even just Friday night, I was at a visitation for a man, sadly, who passed. But his life, man, was a testimony of giving to the Lord's work. And he impacted me personally and helped break that lie. Money can be used for God's kingdom in such incredible ways. Proverbs is full of scripture about money being used to bless others, to feed the poor, to advance God's kingdom. So I hope we will not be lied to in that manner. Another lie. The more money you make, the more valuable you become. Right? Right? You should have a bigger say in elders' meetings or in voting about stuff for the church or all that kind of stuff. You know what? Maybe for many of you, it's actually the opposite that's the lie you're believing. I don't make a lot of money, therefore I'm not valuable. I can't give as much as that guy on Sunday, so I'm not as valuable. Here's God's truth on this topic. 1 Peter 2, 4 and 9. As you come to him, the living stone rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. Precious to him. Verse 9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. No talk about money there of how God sees you and how valuable you are to him. Final lie. Maybe the most common. It's okay to worry about money. That is a lie. It's not okay. God loves us. He's going to provide. I mean, look what Jesus says. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is life not more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life or a single dollar to your bank account? Why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, wealthiest and wisest guy, in all his splendor, is not dressed as one of these. It's not okay to worry about money because God's got it. He will provide. And so, guys, the only way to defeat a lie and break free of that is to know the truth. And God's word and the Proverbs are full of truth. And I think God really wants us to replace the lies that we've been believing about money with his truths. And ultimately, guys, the ultimate truth is found in Jesus. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Just think of those testimonies today. The joy that comes, even in the midst of sorrow, that Jesus promises. So wonderful. So I think it'd be important that we turn to Jesus in looking about money, right? As I said, you know, tons of great stuff in Proverbs. Jesus talks a ton about money. Don't worry, I don't have another list of 10. I don't actually want to look at Jesus' words right now. I want to look at Jesus' actions. And this is a story most of you know really well. It's actually a story that happened twice in his ministry. And I want you to look at Jesus' actions towards the lies about money, the idolatry of putting money in front of God. So in John 2, at the beginning of Jesus' public ministry, he's just turned water to wine. You know, that's another topic we might talk about in Proverbs. But we come to Jesus, and the first action after that is he goes to the temple. And he finds the temple in mayhem because there's a market. They put a market in the court of the Gentiles, and they're selling overpriced animals for sacrifice, making people change their money. And Jesus sees the greed of the Pharisees allowing these merchants in there, and he takes the time to build a whip and goes in there, and he gets aggressive. Like, where else in Jesus' ministry do we see him going at it? Like, he turns over tables, he's scattering the animals, clearing them out. And he says, you've turned my house into a den of thieves. He quotes scripture, and he doesn't do it once. He does it twice. The second time is when he comes victoriously into Jerusalem. And the first thing he does is 3 years later from that first occasion, he comes back and he goes right to the temple. And what does he do? Because they're doing it again. They've made money into an idol, and he goes and he does the same thing. Turns over the tables, attacks, gets the animals out. And this, you know, when I was a kid, I'll admit, I had an anger issue. My mom will attest to that. And I thought this story was about, oh, it's okay to be angry if it's righteous. No. This is not about rage. This is about premeditated, righteous indignation because Jesus loved us. He loved people so much that he did not want the Gentiles to not be able to go and worship God. Like it talks about, he quotes scripture saying, you know, this is supposed to be a house of, my Father's house is a house of prayer for all nations. And you've turned it into a den of thieves. Jesus loved so much that he wanted to get rid of that idol of money, of greed. And what's so beautiful is that he loved us so much that not only did he do that in the temple to allow people a chance to worship and be in relationship with God, but Jesus loved us so much that he died for us, that we would not be dead in our sin, that we would not be distant from God, but that we could be free in Christ. And so, you know, if you're holding on to money, if you're believing one of those lies, if you're not following the wisdom that God gives us in Proverbs, like, just be aware. Like, Jesus may have to get aggressive to root that idol out. But he does it because he loves us so much and he wants us to have freedom. And dealing with money, he wants us to have hope and freedom. So, bottom line is, what do we do? What do we do with the lies we've been believing about money, the practices of money that aren't godly? I think we got to give it to God. We got to ask him, how should I deal with this? And I think it starts with prayer. I think for each of us, we need to pray, Lord, may your Holy Spirit reveal what I'm believing about money or how I'm holding on to it that is not your way of doing money. So we start with prayer and then we repent. It's not simply saying, yes, I recognize that was not so good. It's repenting of the sin of the idol we've placed in front of God. And then declaring God's truths. You know, those verses will speak God's truths against an enemy who wants to kill and destroy and lie to us. And so it's about praying and repenting, and then it's about talking about it. We've got to open the conversations about money, most importantly with our spouse, maybe with seeking wise counsel from godly people in your lives, talking about it with your community group, asking for accountability with your giving or your debt or your budget. It's starting to talk about it. And finally, I think it's important to plan. Get help. There are so many incredible resources out there. I mean, Faith FM, every morning at 8:30, Tom Copeland, he talks about dealing with money God's way. He's got a whole ministry, website, all that kind of stuff. Andy Stanley, if you ever listen to his podcast, I don't know any pastor that talks more about money than Andy Stanley, but he makes it so applicable. Talk about, you know, help, get help from friends, from pastors. Get professional financial counsel from someone who loves God and will point you towards God's way of doing money. I think we've got to really plan on how to steward God's money well. And I think the secret ingredient is to start giving now. Maybe before your debt's dealt with or your budgeting is handled, you say, God, Lord, I want to start trusting you and surrendering my heart to you, and so I'm going to start giving. So I could end there, but I have one more last point. And that's that this whole talk could actually be replaced with any idol. My wise wife shared, well, what about all the other things that people hold up as idols? Maybe you don't deal with money struggles or money idolatry. Maybe it's your health that's the idol in your life. Maybe it's your kids that you idolize more than your relationship with Jesus. Maybe it's safety. I'm not sure what it is. And so that's why we've got to go to God. We've got to pray. We've got to ask, Lord, what is in the way of a fuller, more surrendered life to you? And repent of it. Dig into God's word to find his truth about that idol. Maybe, you know, that whole last one of don't, it's okay to worry. That seems to be a real trend that we have of, oh, I've got this anxiety. I've got this worry. That is an idol that you can surrender to the Lord. Pray about it. Repent of it. Talk about that so that it can come to the light and lose its power, and plan on how to break free of that and surrender more to the Lord. So that's it. I'd love to pray for you and for me right now. So let's pray. Abba, Father, I thank you that you loved us so much that you were willing to do whatever it took to fight for our hearts, to break us free of idols, to break free of the lies of the enemy. Lord, you loved us so much, you died for us. So Lord, I lift up to you my heart and those here on how to handle money and other things that are in the way of a life of hope and freedom in you. I pray your Holy Spirit would reveal what it is that we need to surrender to you, what lies we need to defeat with your truths. Lord, give us the courage to do so, to begin talking about this topic and others where we need help. We need to develop plans to steward what you've entrusted to us well. So Lord, we give this to you in your precious name. Amen.